Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda tonight. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none. We'll move to item four, board member items for discussion. I'll start with Vern.
I don't have anything at this time.
Barbara?
Nothing right now.
Pamela?
I do.
Okay.
And it mainly has to do with cleanup. We're having a fall cleanup the end of the last week in September. Again, this is, you can put 12 bags of trash out. You can get rid of large items. You do have to call the South County office, and I've got the number here. So that's the number to call. That's $10 for a large item. It's cheaper than taking it to the landfill yourself, and they'll do it right off your off the curb at your house. And this is the end of the last week in September. The other big cleanup item that's happening is the creek cleanup, and I wanted to mention that we'll be doing that the 29th of September. It seems to be a big cleanup week. That's the Saturday. The last Saturday in September. There is a website and a number to call. We will be cleaning two places on Royal Grande Creek. Last year, they got six dumpsters and two recycled dumpsters with creek debris. So the website and the number to call, I'm gonna do this again, and hopefully everybody can see that. They will provide you with gloves and your bag. Just be sure to wear the appropriate clothing, and the website has all those kinds of things. So that's all I need to speak about.
Okay, thank you. And the phone numbers again for the fall cleanup was 489-4246. And for the creek cleanup, 473-8221. Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number five, review and approval of the minutes. We have two tonight from August 22nd and August 29th. Comment or questions from the board? No. I have one correction to make on the August 29th on page three. The record shows that the motion under item five at the top of the page was seconded by Vice President Bookout. I believe I seconded that myself. That's the only correction I have. Is there any comment or questions from the public on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, look for a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes of August 12th and August 29th with the revision as requested.
That's, you meant to say, I believe, August 22nd?
Is it August 22nd, sorry.
Excuse me. I believe those need to be split in two because I wasn't here on the 22nd.
Okay, we'll take it separately then.
I move that we approve the minutes of August 22nd as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And one abstain?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then for August 29th?
I move that we approve the minutes for August 29th with the one correction to be made.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. One absent, of course. Reports this evening. We have Commander Martin Basti and new commander, actually Chief Deputy. Congratulations.
Thank
and
you very
Commander
much.
Brian Haskell from the Sheriff's South Station. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board, staff, and members of the public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. This evening is my last meeting formally before you. I've been promoted to Chief Deputy, and I'm in charge of operations, which means I still have the overseeing of the South Station as well as Coast, our North Station, detectives, dispatch, and our Special Operations Unit. So with that, we had a couple retirements and promotions. Therefore, we had to do some backfills for the station. So I did have a hand in selecting the replacement for me to ensure that the consistency and the public gets the same level of service. And so I'd like to introduce tonight, first of all, Sergeant Tony Perry comes to us from the Watchmaster's office. Tony did work patrol down here, and then he worked several stations as well as the Watchmaster. Very experienced. He's also a South County resident. He'd be a great fit for the station. And then for your report tonight, my replacement is Commander Brian Haskell. He came from our Special Operations Unit as well as the PIO. He's been a field training officer at our station up in the coast area as well as a deputy. And with their years of experience down here, you will expect the same level of service and the same reports and the same continuity with your board. And before I turn over to Brian for the monthly report, I want to express my heartfelt appreciation for your board, your staff, for working with our department, not only providing the building, but providing that feedback and the friendship and the professionalism that your board shows our department as we protect our community and serve our community. And that's exactly what you guys do as elected officials, and that's what we do as public servants, is serve the community, and I think we do a very good job of working together. I appreciate all the courtesies extended. Your resolution is proudly framed and hanging in the main hallway of our office, and will be for all the years of service that our folks, and we do appreciate that and the recognition. So without any further, I say goodbye and I say thank you, and I turn it over to good hands, Brian Haskell.
Thank you very much, Martin.
Good evening. I just had a few items that I wanted to bring up for your attention that have been going on with our department. We've had a slight increase in car burglaries in Oceano recently, so we are asking that everybody take appropriate precautions and lock their vehicles, take their valuables out of their vehicles to try to eliminate opportunistic thieves from going through and trying vehicle doors and taking things. We have been dealing with the issues involving homeless persons down at the Oceano Park Lagoon area. We are making progress on that, and we are continuing to address that problem as it becomes apparent to us. We have had a little bit of an increase, and we continue to have problems with identity theft. And they're the kind of problems you can imagine, money being taken out of accounts via computer information, also paper items, receipts, things like that, that have account numbers on them that people are throwing in their trash. So we ask everybody to take all precaution that they can as far as protecting their computer from intrusion, and please shred all of your receipts so that that doesn't become an easy target for an opportunistic thief. Last thing that I had to bring up was graffiti vandalism. We've gotten past the summer months here. We're starting into fall. Things seem to have leveled off quite a bit, and I just wanted to point out it was publicized last week. We did manage to arrest four vandals for graffiti vandalism over in Napomo last week, so we are making some progress down here on that issue as well.
Very good.
Are there any questions?
Anyone? I have one.
Yes.
One of our residents in Oceano has mentioned just in the last week or so about the number of homeless that have increased that are camping right at the end of Pier Avenue, right when you go into the dunes on the right. Can you go in there after those folks? Because the number has increased greatly in the last 3 weeks.
Well, I will have to go down and look specifically where you're discussing. That might be state park property down, actually, if it's on the dunes, but...
State Park says it's county.
Oh, well. In that case, we can go down and take a look at the issue and see what we can do to address that problem. I'll make a note of that and have my patrol deputies go down and see what exactly we can do about that.
Thank you.
Anything else?
We certainly welcome you to the community, and we're glad to have you here. It's been, I think it's Chief Deputy Basti has said that we've had a great working relationship. We look forward to continuing that, and we thank you and all of the deputies in the station for all of the help and assistance in the community. We really appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, and I look forward to a really good working relationship with you folks as well. Call me anytime you need anything.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. President, he has my old number, so if there can't be a safety in your system.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate what you do for the community.
Thank you very much.
Martin, hope to see you around still in the future here.
Well, certainly. I just will come down and visit you by lunch.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 6B, report of our district department heads. Gina, would you like to tell us a little bit about what was highlights of the month?
During August, besides doing the routine agendas for the board and fire committee, we also were still setting up the files for the new year. We did routine correspondence and the payrolls for admin and the firefighters and warrants. We also had a lot of questions these days from existing and new developers that are coming, and there's a lot of construction going on within the district at this time. We prepared the usual reports for the utility systems supervisor along with the related will serves and fee letters during the month. We coordinate also the final inspections on construction projects for the fire department and the utility crew so that they don't have two sets of people going out at the same time. We went through our delinquent process and ultimately sent out 329 late notices on August 24th. Tomorrow will be our shutoff day. At this point, we're looking at probably 12 to 13 shutoffs. We send out for the fire department notices to a number of the commercial businesses saying that this was the time for the annual inspections. We give them a list of items that they'll be looking for so that people have advance notice. They can take care of certain things that they're able to see and recognize on their own. We also did some letters of conditional employment for three new people. We ended up accepting two of those. We did the final proof lists for both the garbage and the weed abatement to go on the tax rolls. Somebody's laughing at me. We did our usual payroll data for the U.S. Department of Labor. They ask us for statistics once a quarter. We have some paperwork that comes in every so often for prior employees, and we've also submitted that. The alternate work program that we do with the Sheriff's Department, we completed the paperwork on a couple of people that we had working for us during the month. And the request for audit proposals went out, along with the appeal to the state controller regarding the annual report of financial transactions, and the continuing disclosure docs that relate to the Lopez bonds and the state water project were sent to the bank and to the county. We responded to a public request for information and transmitted the letters from several directors to the Board of Supervisors regarding the proposed mobile home park related ordinance. We told the county that we would just love to have them here three times next year for the elections. And we did the leaving and assuming office conflict of interest statements for Arnie Dowdy and our new general manager, O'Reilly. And right now we're still working on the shutoff procedure. We're processing more will serve requests and answering developers' questions regarding what's the next step in their development and working on the audit.
It's been a pretty busy month.
So yeah.
Thank you for dealing with all of that. Comment or questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move to operations supervisor, Phil.
Two of the things he said not to do. I never locked my car and I never shred a bill.
We could tell by Gina's look.
Aside from that, I try to keep within the law. There were three failures reported and corrected in the sewer department in August. And in addition, we had several meetings during the month about the mandated fats, oil, and grease program that's just getting started. Excuse me. In the water department, the redevelopment project of well 6 required a lot of our attention. And however, I am happy to report that the test pumping operations on well 6 are looking very positive at this time. On the 30th of the month, we responded and repaired a broken fire hydrant on Pike Lane. The crew spent several days working on the water system valve exercise program. And also, we spent a considerable amount of inspection time on the new sewer and water system facilities that are being installed to serve the 46 new homes and track 2758. Other jobs completed during the month, maintenance on the antique streetlights, and responding to various customer issues and problems. The district produced 90.38 acre feet of water during August, and the total amount of water produced in August, it was 7.6% less than was produced in July, and it was exactly the same as what we produced in August a year ago.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. It's really good news that well 6 looks promising.
Yeah,
that's
pleased.
Good news. Any other comments?
I have one question on the street lighting for Melody Way. People are continuing to ask me what the status is, and I know you've had all the time in the world to do it this month.
we've contacted PG&E, and unfortunately, we're still waiting for a return call.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm expecting it any day. Guess I better jack him up.
And that's for new service? Is that the new service section of PG&E?
I'm sorry?
New service? Who do you contact at PG&E? Do you know?
I've never talked to the guy I'm supposed to contact.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah. He is in the new service department. Okay.
It took a while to get there.
I can try to have them contact you also.
And I can go by. They're just on Batchel Lane. So if you have, you know, a plan, you can take it in there and kind of speed things up if that would help, too.
Okay.
Okay. I know sometimes it's difficult because they have a lot of things on their plate, too.
Yeah.
I think it would be really nice if we can move this along, since this board did make a promise to install that particular street light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be good.
Yeah, we'll get you the information.
Thank you.
Okay. We have Captain John Bova from our fire department is here. Captain Bova, do you have any highlights for the month in the fire department for us?
Yeah, good evening. This will be kind of brief. For the month of August, we had a grand total of 76 calls within the fire department. 34 of those were in Oceano. So it brings us to a total of 573 for the year as of the end of August. From the end of August until today, we have had 31 additional calls, which brings us to 604 calls for as of September 12th. At September 12th of last year, we had 527. So you can see we're a little bit ahead of last year. Depending on what the winter brings us, we might go even higher than we did last year, most likely will, over 800 calls. In August, we had one of the fires we had in August was on the beach, on the dunes. Fairly significant fire caused by fireworks was witnessed, so we know that, and we did find the remnants of the fireworks. We did respond to that with 6165, our brush rig, and with assistance from County Fire, did make it out, but they do have to stay on the hard pack. Their engines can't come up on the soft sand. So luckily it wasn't too far back into the dunes, and we were able to reach it. We did a progressive hose lay. And then we had an additional fire on the beach here in September. Wasn't nearly as big. It was just my last shift. It was caused again by fireworks, and it was witnessed by the rangers. So we know it was fireworks. Couldn't find the remnants of the fireworks on that one. And we just extinguished that with backpack pumps. The fire inspections that Gina Davis referred to are starting up on Pacific Boulevard and Beach Street, and we're finishing up on a lot of the re-inspections from the previous neighborhood that I did, which would be Front and Cienega, kind of moving around to that part of town. Mm-hmm. So that's about it. Any questions?
Question. When you said that the rangers witnessed the fireworks, do you know, did they then make an arrest since fireworks are illegal this time?
They were unable to catch anyone or detain anyone. The one was witnessed by a ranger, and it was just by the time it was dropping into the brush. So really unclear of where it came from. One of them was at like 10 o'clock at night. The other one was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's pretty hard to tell. I don't think they made any arrests.
Okay.
The first fire, the one we had in August, was significantly larger, and we did have a fire investigator from CDF, Cal Fire, out there working it, and they were, you know, there was a lot of people on the beach at that time. It's really hard to tell. Anytime fireworks start going up on the beach, it's real hard to tell where they come from.
Do you know how many acres they burned in the fire?
The largest fire was probably 2 acres.
2 acres.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the most.
Then you were speedy in getting it.
Excuse me?
You were very fast in getting it closed down.
Yeah, it was a good reporting timeline and a good response. And it's amazing, even on a humid, like moist evening, how much flame that grass can put up. Mm-hmm. And we had good 15-foot flame lengths coming up off of that. So it looks impressive on a dark night. You know, it provides a lot of light for you. Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
And thanks for all of the efforts that you guys continue to put in on our behalf.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Comment or questions from the public on the department head reports? Hearing none, receive and file, please. Tonight we have no specific fire items, so we'll move to utility items. 8A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is our continuing disclosure of the emergency situation following the San Simeon earthquake. We're required to update this at each regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Vern. I think I heard Vern first. Moved by Director Mann, seconded by Director Dahl. Is there any comment or questions on this from the public?
No.
May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 8B is the developer's statement and initial environmental study for the Oceana Sewer Repair and Replacement Project. We'll consider the general manager's recommendation to approve the developer's statement and initial environmental study. Patrick?
Yeah, Mr. President, members of the board, and members of the community. The Oceana Sewer Repair and Replacement Project includes 13 segments of sewer lines damaged during the 2003 San Simeon earthquake. We have contracted Sloan County Planning to do the environmental determination on this project. And we've also contracted with Gary Taylor to do the project administration. And there are representatives from Are you Eric Russell?
Yes, sir.
From both groups, Eric Russell from Green Taylor and Morgan Terrell from County Planning. The initial study was adopted or accepted by, adopted, I guess, by the county, and this board has to adopt that also. That's for the environmental mitigation impact. And part of the initial study requires a developer's statement that must be prepared and adopted by this board as well. Both of those documents are included in your packet. There are some minor corrections to the initial study on page 2. Morgan brought these this evening. They're very minor, but I need to point them out. Under paragraph A, description, the third line where it says San Luis, where it says South County, should say San Luis Bay Coastal Planning Area. And then under paragraph B, where it says planning area, it should say, instead of South County, it should say San Luis Bay Coastal Planning Area. And then under, am I saying that? I'm saying that right. Yeah. And under land use category, we've got to add, well, it's already in here. Residential single family is included in that. Or should not be included. Oh, it should be deleted. I'm sorry. The first part of land use category, residential single family, should be deleted.
I'm sorry, where was that at again?
Page that was two. On land use category under paragraph B.
Okay. And we're eliminating one part of it?
That's right. The residential single family should be deleted. All right. And those are the only corrections. So if you have questions, we can try to answer them.
Okay. The one question I would have is, I don't know where these particular segments are, but if we live immediately adjacent to one of these segments, are we in a conflict statement? Is that a public generally, or would that be?
Boy, you caught me off guard. I looked at this statement last week, and that was not one of the issues that jumped out at me. I guess there is the potential for there to be a conflict of interest if the work would affect the value of your property. I think it's relatively unlikely that it would. I can't say categorically that it couldn't, but the sewer lines that were the work that's being talked about being done here affects the whole community. It's not individually designed to particularly benefit one property over another. So I think if you went through the whole analysis at the end of the day after getting an appraisal, you know, before and after type appraisal, you'd probably find that the effect is insignificant. So I think at the end of the day, you'd probably come to the conclusion that there wasn't a conflict of interest. But I can't say categorically that it couldn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Given that, I think I should probably recuse myself from this item. Director Mann, would you take over?
All right.
Okay. So that none of the rest of us have the same problem, can you explain exactly where all these lines are going to be worked on at?
Pardon?
Yes. Members of the board, let's see. Excuse me. They're basically on the west side of the Highway 1. There's two instances where the lines will cross the railroad tracks, in which case we're going to have to get a permit to do work there. And then there's two instances where we're going to need Caltrans approval. And then there's one instance where we're going to need Union Pacific Railroad their blessing on whether or not we can go through and do the work on that.
So everything is west of Highway 1?
Well, for the most part, there's three sections that are going to be crossing there, but for the most part, everything is to the west. But they're spread out.
How far are they going to cross Highway 1 this way?
To the east side.
Yeah, to the east side, because we live east side.
Oh, okay. It's basically going to be on 13th and I can't remember the other cross street, but it's Highway 1 and 13th. There's a manhole there on that corner, and that's about as far east as you're going to be going.
Okay.
There's one farther north at Pier Avenue, and that one we're going to have to go in
matter.
As well. Okay, so.
So how many, I guess you have to decide how far you are from the manhole.
I'm not even close.
Because you're the only one that would remotely be close.
Close to the manhole. I know where the manhole is.
Yeah.
They were cleaning that.
And be advised that we're not going to be excavating all 29 sections. Some of them are going to be trenchless. We're trying to minimize the environmental impacts associated with this. So on certain sections where it is feasible, we're definitely going to, you know, go trenchless, which is basically going to reline the existing sewer pipe. And in those instances where that is available to us, we are going to do that.
Thank you. Any more questions, Vern?
No, that's the main one.
I had a question maybe before you go.
Oh, yeah.
About the particular segments that were environmentally risky, segment one and some of the other segments, maybe that would be...
Go ahead. What's the question?
I wanted to know where they actually are.
Okay.
The ones where we're going to have to do all of this mitigation or a good portion of it.
All right, so we'll start with section one, which is at Juanita. It's the alley. Are you aware of section one?
Yeah.
Do you have the information there?
I don't have a map, but I know, I think, where you're speaking of.
Okay. It's centrally located to Juanita, and it goes from Juanita to the south towards the wetlands there.
Okay.
That is one particular section which we are, that's number one on the list. That's one that is deemed to be very necessary to replace. That is going to be used trenchless technology to do that.
That one.
Mm-hmm. Sections two and three run under the airport, Oceano Airport. Those will also be trenchless as well due to, you know, obvious reasons for the airport. Let's see. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Is there something by the lagoon? They mentioned something by the lagoon. Or
let's see. Okay, yes. Yeah. Seven, which is off of near Railroad Avenue. That one goes towards the airport, running from Railroad Avenue southwesterly towards the airport. I believe I'm using trenchless technology on that as well, on a portion of that. 15 and 19. 19 is also emanating to the north of the Oceano Airport. I can't remember that little side street, the name of that. But again, that's near the airport. And 15. Oh, yeah, that's Palace Avenue, and that's also extending southerly towards the airport as well. So for the most part, a majority of the six are around the northerly part of the airport area.
Okay. That looks good. My compliments to the county for their diligence in working through this whole thing. The mitigated negative deck is a really good thing to be able to get here, and it looks like it looks like things I've seen before in environmental documents in order to mitigate for the particular items that you were talking about. So it was an interesting read. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
We're getting close to some deadlines here from FEMA or our Office of Emergency Services on this stuff. Is that true or?
Not that Morgan, do you know? I don't think so. I think we have till two. Do you know when the, do either one of you know when the construction funds have to be spent?
Did you ask about the FEMA or the CDBG money?
Well, any of it. Is there any timelines we're coming up against with any of these?
We haven't been, the county has not been involved with the FEMA funds, so I'm not sure exactly where OCSD is with those funds, but for the state CDBG funds, there's two different sources for this project. There's state CDBG funds that were administered from HCD, and there's federal CDBG funds also allocated for the project. And for the state ones, the deadline to expend all the funds is April 2009. And that's approximately $660,000. And then the other three, it's approximately $322,000. The deadlines aren't as strict. However, we have to meet timeliness, which are HUD guidelines. So there's a little more flexibility with those, but that $660,000 is important. It's, we have to spend that by 2009 of April. So.
And there were some deadlines with FEMA too, is that correct?
I don't know. I don't even know that we have FEMA funds. Do we have, I don't think we have FEMA funds.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the public? Bring it back to the board. Any questions, comments, or looking for a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion, and I want to get all of this. Let's see, the recommended action is to adopt the initial study and the developer's agreement to authorize the president or the person acting to sign the developer's agreement in this case.
That's with the corrections.
With the corrections, yes.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Deans? Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes. Thank you. Come on back, Jim.
I'd just like to thank county staff and Eric for coming and clarifying that for us. It was very helpful. I appreciate it.
Oh, and I didn't really catch either person's full name.
Morgan Terrell is the lady from planning, and Eric Russell is from Garen Taylor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next item is 8C, a request by South County Sanitary Service for a rate increase for the collection of trash and solid waste.
Mr. President, I need to recuse myself from this item.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, South County Sanitary Services requested a 3% rate increase in accordance with the franchise agreement that we have with them. All of the agencies involved with South County Sanitary have contracted with Bill Statler, who is the finance director, administrative services director, finance director in, for the city of San Luis Obispo, because he has extensive background in this area, and he's done this for us before. He is here tonight to make a presentation on the analysis that he did concerning this rate increase. And then Mr. Tom Martin from South County Sanitary is also here to answer questions. So I'd like to ask Mr. Statler to make his presentation.
Good evening.
Hello.
Okay, maybe I need, maybe a mouse. Oh, here we go. Report purpose. And South County Sanitary Service has submitted a rate application to for all of the areas in the South County that they support. I evaluated it for the cities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and for the Oceano Community Services District. And why jointly look at those four agencies? You receive almost the exact same services from South County Sanitary. You have very similar franchise agreements, similar rate review methodologies, and quite frankly, the financial information for South County Sanitary Service is closely related for all of those areas.
Okay.
Overview of the findings that are in the report. South County Sanitary Service has provided all of the supporting documentation that's required under your franchise agreement. They provide a very comprehensive level of service, both curbside trash, recycling, green waste, most importantly, at very competitive rates compared with similar communities. In fact, even after this rate increase, you'll have some of the lowest solid waste rates in the Central Coast. They've done an excellent job of managing both their costs and their revenues in light of increasing cost pressures for things like liability insurance, like fuel, which is obviously a large part of their operation. And my recommendation to you, based on the information they've submitted, based on your franchise agreement, is that you approve their rate request for 3% increase. Basically, the work scope and the study that I performed for you, should they be granted the rate increase that they've asked for? If so, how much? And really three questions within that to ask ourselves: how much does it cost to provide service to you? Are these costs reasonable? And if they are reasonable, then what's a reasonable rate of return to the trash company for that? Basis for the review is the City of San Luis Obispo's detailed manual on rate setting. This was adopted by the district as your methodology for evaluating rates in your franchise agreement with South County Sanitary Service. In performing the analysis, reviewed all of your franchise agreements and amendments that have been made, took a detailed look at the South County Sanitary Services audited financial statements, obviously reviewed the rate setting manual, reviewed the documentation, extensive documentation that South County Sanitary presented, conducted follow-up interviews as necessary, and then surveyed what rates are in other Central Coast communities. So the first question, are the costs reasonable? Looked at that really from three different perspectives, did a detailed review of their costs over the last 4 years, compared rates with comparable communities, because that does provide some basis for that, and then compared the rate increase they're asking for with increases in the consumer price index. Their rate increase of 3% compares really favorably with the increase in consumer price index of 4% in 2006. Just a quick overview of their costs. Obviously, one of their most significant costs is to pay for those folks that operate the trucks and collect the trash. Tipping fees, though, pass-through fees to the landfill, next largest component, that's 20%. Obviously, the vehicles are a big part of their operations, so vehicle and operations and maintenance is 18%. Franchise fees are 10% of their overall cost. I think it's important to recognize that their administrative costs and overhead are really very reasonable at 12% of the total cost base. What's a reasonable rate of return on those costs? The rate manual really organizes their costs into three major categories. The first one is allowable costs. That's basically their cost for operation and maintenance. That they're allowed to have a reasonable rate of return on. Another group of costs, franchise fees and tipping fees, they're allowed to recover those costs, but they aren't allowed to earn any profit on those costs. And then there's a third category, and that's costs that are excluded altogether from their cost of operations. They're not allowed any cost recovery for contributions, any cost recovery for entertainment, no cost recovery for their income taxes, no cost recovery if they have any non-IRS approved profit sharing plans. If there were any fines and penalties, those aren't passed through. And there are limits going all the way back to the middle 1990s on officer compensation. So three costs, those that are basically excluded, they can't have any recovery on, those that are allowed to only get the costs that they incurred, and then those costs they're allowed to earn a profit on. So here's the methodology. For those allowable costs, they are allowed to get a 92% operating ratio. Basically, they're allowed to earn 8% on their allowable costs. No profit on the pass-through costs, tipping fees, franchise fees, and that's about 30% of their total cost base is in those areas. Obviously, no revenues are allowed for excluded costs. Some other key points, they're not allowed any retroactivity, so whatever losses they've had in the past are losses they've had in the past. On the other hand, if they were able to earn better than this operating ratio based on the rate increases they've been granted, then that's really due to their operating operations, and they're entitled to those as well. Implementation, comprehensive base review every 3 years. That's the process that we're in now. And in the interim years, they're allowed CPI increases on their allowable costs and pass-through on any tipping or franchise fee costs. Conclusion, I believe their costs are reasonable based on all of the sort of three-way tests. And based on that, their proposed rate increase meets the reasonable return information. And if you look at the cost increases that are being requested right now, for 32 gallons, it's 35 cents a month increase. For 64 gallons, or the equivalent of two cans, it's 50 cents. That's probably where most of your customers lie. For those people who have a lot of trash, this is less than a dollar a month increase for those folks. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about their proposed rate increase and my recommendation that you approve it.
Comment or questions?
We just want to pick on Tom a little bit.
Bill, thank you very much for the report and the analysis.
Tom Martin from the garbage company. I don't have anything other than to remind everybody that cleanup week is September 24th through the 28th, last week of this month. If you've got appliances and other stuff, they don't go in the garbage truck anymore. They have to be picked up by a special truck and trailer, so call early and call often.
I have a couple questions for Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Tom, how come we constantly change the months that we do these increases? I mean, are we going to get where if it's going to be November, it's going to be every November, or do you just like to pick a different month because you like
different No, months? Actually, historically, it's always been April 1st, and we ran into some problems with timing, and essentially, because we coordinate with all six of the cities, we need to do it kind of in the same time frame that they're all going with. And so to answer your question, yes, I wish it were the same month every time. It'd be a lot easier on me. But my guess is with this one doing now, we're probably just going to shoot for January 1st and, you know, leave it at that because...
So you'd like to change this November 1 to January 2008?
No, I don't, because technically I've been about 6 months behind in revenue so far because we're going to enact this on November 1st or October 1st. I didn't happen to look at the...
November
1st. And... 2007 is almost over, and this is the 2007 base year review, so it's we really haven't got around to it. So my guess is that I will be submitting it in May or June of 2008 for enactment January 1st of 2009, the next time we do this, because I'd like to get to a consistent January 1st date like all the other entities do.
That's okay. Now, my second question is, last year you were very, very gracious and generous to us by giving us that little pile of money for to pick up extra things that people just left.
Last time I looked, there was about $927 that had been charged to that account.
Are you going to do this again for us this year?
No, that offer remains. The money, I'll just leave it in there, and we encourage anybody number Dean's sake. If you see anything in the alleys, if you see anything on the side of the road, either get a hold of Gina or get a hold of the office, and our two staffs work together very well, and we'll get somebody out to pick it up, and we'll pick it up and we'll argue about who's going to pay for it later, just so that it removes it, because once you start leaving that stuff there, it seems to attract more things. So, yes, that's
thank you. Thank you so much, and that again, that was very generous of you, and we certainly appreciate it and everything you do for us.
That's good. The goal is to keep it clean.
Yes.
Pamela, questions, comments?
Well, Barbara stole my thunder because I was going to ask about that little fund. Because we are very appreciative of your help in keeping us clean here. And I wanted to relate to people out there that right now I'm paying bi-monthly $23.16 for my trash and refuse pickup. And it will now be $23.86 with the rate increase. We actually, I looked at the per unit cost, and we're cheaper than anybody, any of the cities around. So it's 37 cents per gallon cost here. You're doing a good job trying to control the costs, and I know it's hard with what we're going through. So I commend you.
Thank you. I'll tell the guys.
I'd like to echo also what Barbara and Pamela said. Thank you very much for your diligence and providing that extra fund to make sure that everything's picked up and kept under control. We very much appreciate that. I had a a personal experience recently where Don, one of your supervisors, came out because I had mistakenly thought that a can had been knocked over in the street by a refuse truck, but in fact it was by a neighbor. And he came out. We had quite an interesting discussion. You guys are on top of everything, let me tell you. You're careful of scheduling. You're careful of cost control. You're managing your people well. You're managing your business well. I'm happy that you're here as our refuse collection agency. I think you're doing a good job. I think this is a very reasonable request.
I'm glad to hear it. Unless you tell us, we never know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Comment or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none.
Oh, Gina has a comment.
Gina, yes.
I just wanted to add staff's thank you to the staff of South County Sanitary because they are excellent in handling any question that we present to them, and they always take care of things in a timely fashion. We really appreciate that.
I'll let them know tomorrow on our meeting.
Motion for us to do a resolution establishing the new rates for the collection and disposal of solid waste and rubble for 2007 through it's effective November 1, 2007.
I second that.
I believe this is resolution 2007-17.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve motion resolution 2007-17, resolution of the Board of Directors of OCSD establishing new rates for the collection and disposal of solid waste and rubble. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Okay, moving to...
You're going to extricate your CD?
Thank you again, Bill. Moving on to item number 8D, the desalination study agreement. Consideration and recommendation to participate in a desalination agreement study with the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach.
Yeah, Mr. President, members of the board. Did you want me to?
Let's.
Oh,
we'll.
Oh, I'm
give
sorry.
Just a minute for Vern to come back.
Sure. I didn't realize he was still gone.
Well, thank you for waiting.
The district and the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have identified the need for a supplemental water source in the future. The next step in the development of that potential water source is a funding study that would include a preliminary design of the desal facility, and that design would be used to develop probable timeframes and a cost estimate for the project. The agencies have previously agreed in principle that each agency will pay an equal share of the cost of the study. The city of Arroyo Grande took the lead in obtaining a Proposition 50 grant from the State Department of Water Resources that'll pay for approximately half the cost of the study, or about $45,000. The total cost of the study as it stands right now is $95,285, so that leaves $16,762 to be funded by each agency. Our water budget for the current fiscal year includes $16,900 for this study. The agreement is attached to the staff report. It was approved by the Arroyo Grande City Council on August the 28th of this year, and it's on the agenda for consideration by Grover Beach on September the 17th of this year. Recommended action is for the board to authorize the president to sign the proposed agreement and the board secretary to attest to it.
Okay, thank you. Comment or questions from the board?
Well, I just think we need to move ahead with this.
Glad to see that we are moving forward with it, too.
Okay.
And I consider it a prudent course of action. We don't know what's going to be happening with the state water.
Hearing none, bring it back to the board. Look for a motion.
I move that we authorize the president to sign the proposed agreement and the board secretary to attest.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we proceed with this item. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 80, consideration of a utility billing adjustment. Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to adjust the current utility billing for property owners experiencing a higher than normal utility billing due to line breakage or leaks. Patrick?
Yeah. Stephen Leonard, 1310 20th Street, has submitted a request for a utility billing adjustment in accordance with our policy. In the month of the billing period, May 16th, to July 17th of this year, he determined that he had a leak during that period, and he has provided documentation that the leak was repaired from his landscape maintenance company. The adjustment is $268.81 for water charge and $103.74 for the Lopez charge. And staff recommends that the board approves this adjustment.
Okay, thank you. Comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public? Hearing none, I'll look for a motion.
I move that we direct district staff to credit the account listed above to reflect the changes in the 12-month average as the amount due and owing.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we apply our policy to this account and make the adjustment stated. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 9, administrative items. This is the financial auditor's management advisory comments for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2006.
Yeah, this is the letter that's provided by the auditor to the district recommending management actions. Not it has nothing to do with the audit itself. The audit has already been submitted. The auditor this year made four recommendations, and staff concurs with all four recommendations. Staff feels that's an excellent recommendation. However, it's not something that can be done immediately. I've established a goal date to have informal working policies and procedures in place no later than March the 1st of 2008, and then develop a schedule for developing an actual manual itself after that. Once I really need to get a handle on what we have here before I start trying to make formal documentation. The third recommendation was that checks that have been outstanding for more than 6 months should be processed so that we know whether the payee intends to cash the check or if we need to put in a stop payment and reissue a new check. And staff concurs with that recommendation, and we've actually taken action already to implement that recommendation. And then the capitalization policy, the auditor recommended, the fourth recommendation is that the district adopt a capitalization policy with minimum thresholds for equipment capitalization of $5,000 and for infrastructure capitalization of $100,000. And these coincide with the GASB 34, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board finding 34 that requires capitalization of assets. And staff concurs with that recommendation. And again, that we won't be able to do that immediately, but that is something we need to put on the list of to-do items and get back to the board within 6 months or so.
Okay. Comment or questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a couple. Are our checks void after 6 months? A lot of county checks are ours.
Aren't you not printed that way?
And stop payments are only valid for 6 months. So if you, from what I understand from a bank, and what do they charge us, the $25 they charge most other people? Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, if they are set for a 6-month expiration date, is that upheld by the bank? they do that when you have that on a check or not?
A stamp-dated check is what you're talking about.
Yeah, if somebody tries to cash a check that's 4 to 6 months old and we print that on our checks, is that honored by the bank?
I don't know. We could find out. That would be a good alternative.
Because that could save us that $25 fee, and then also if we don't...
What the paying bank is going to do, whether they will honor it or not, and usually the paying bank will not honor the check.
And we would be the paying bank, correct?
We're at Midstate.
Yeah.
Midstate would be the paying bank, and typically they would not honor it.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. Do we have like an 8-year supply of checks?
No.
No? Okay.
So. And the second one is the $5,000 limit on the capitalization for equipment. Is that set in the rules, that amount set in the Gadsby rules, or is it?
No. No. It's a recommendation, and you do when you develop a capitalization policy, there's really three categories of assets. There's your infrastructure, and then there's your capital items, and then there's accountable items that typically don't have a value but are inventoried annually anyway. They're not included in your asset value. Things like personal computers, a portable computer that's worth $2,000, you don't just buy those and forget about them. You put them on an inventory list. And you account for them, but you don't account for them financially because it's not worth the effort to do
it. Yeah,
it
takes a lot of additional time and effort to account for a piece of equipment and amortize it out and that type of thing.
That's correct.
And I was thinking for a district our size or so that might be a little bit low, but that might be something to look at.
We can, yeah. Certainly, I mean, we have to bring this policy back to the board for adoption, and we'll discuss those things.
Energy in the office, a little time, a little,
right.
Little money and energy if that was raised up a little bit.
I note also that the auditor suggested that we prepare a management discussion and analysis for the next audit, and I know we've already talked about that, and the plan is to have that prepared as well.
We will have an MDA. There's no question. It's not that difficult. As a matter of fact, one of the things that was discussed at the conference last week was this management discussion and analysis letter, and there was a pretty good period of time spent talking about the components and what's included in each component, and it's not that difficult to put together. It just has to be approved by the board, and we'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other comment, questions? Any comment or questions from the public?
And Social Security retirement program because we're covered by PERS, but we do have to participate in the Medicare portion of Social Security. At the time, employees who were currently employed could be grandfathered out of that, and our employees elected to be grandfathered out. In 2005, the fiscal year for 2005-06, both employees expressed a desire to be included in the Medicare portion, and the budgets since 2005-06 to date have included sums that allow them to participate. However, unfortunately, we didn't go through all the paperwork that's required to have them recognized by the federal government as being part of the Social Security system. So we have the resolution that's attached that needs to be approved by the board that authorizes PERS, the Public Employment Retirement System, to initiate an election. PERS will send that election to the district. All the members impacted have to vote. It has to be a majority vote of the members impacted. There's only two, and the odds are very high that they're both going to vote for it, at which time then I would certify as the general manager the election results, send them back to PERS. Then PERS notifies Social Security, who then adds them to the system. So it's really a three-step process. It's fairly cumbersome, but it's something we need to do. Part of the process is that we can make it retroactive to 2005-06. So the employees will get the retroactive coverage that they deserve, actually.
And that retroactive was withheld.
It's already been paid.
Already and been
paid. That's right.
Been paid.
That's right. It's actually been paid to Social Security, but they don't recognize that they're in the system right now. They've got the money, they just don't recognize.
Just kind of fell through the cracks.
Pardon?
Like it fell through the cracks, kind of.
Yes.
And I don't, if I remember correctly, I don't think they opted out. It just kind of never went any place or never was really discussed too much. So I'm glad that they're going to get Medicare because someday they might need it.
Okay, so this the action that's actually before us tonight is a resolution that authorizes that election to be held.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there public comment on this item? Here.
Yes, the Airport Land Use Commission meeting was canceled, as they usually are through the summer. And the next one will be a week from today, next Wednesday. The Oceano Advisory Council, we are still meeting rather regularly to develop our bylaws and via new guidelines that have come down from the county. And the next meeting, we did that on the 10th and on the 27th of last month. The next meeting is coming Monday, which the date on that is, what's the date that's coming Monday?
The 17th.
Okay. Supervisor Sajid is scheduled to attend the council meeting. And he's going to report on the state of the county. And then we're going to be also discussing some some items. Let me find the actual name of this. Framework for planning. We're going to be looking at that document. And we also, at the next meeting, will be probably going over some of the other items. But mostly, our main thing is going to be the meeting with the presentation by Cacho. I also attended a community advisory chairs meeting in San Luis Obispo. The chair couldn't go, and as the vice chair asked me to attend this. And so that was going over these new things that requirements that they want from advisory councils and the and the different bylaws is next to county areas and try to move more growth into the cities and not as much in the counties. And one of the ways they were looking at doing this type of thing was to try to increase cities' abilities to hold more people. They looked at, the example given was Napomo having a water problem and trying to get less growth in that area, and I mentioned to them we kind of got the opposite problem here. The cities next to us don't have water, and we do have water, so it's going to be a little bit harder for them in this area to try to move growth into the city areas. Talked a little bit about the smart growth plan, and the other thing that came up was this coming Friday from 9 until about 10:30 in the board chamber rooms at the board of county supervisors boardroom. The planning department is going to be talking about or discussing their new calculations for the cost of building permits. And it's only going to be building permits that they're going to talk about, not any other fees.
They've done a pretty heavy study in trying to get down to the true costs of what they go through to issue a building permit. And they're going to be going over that for anybody interested. There will be a few fees that are going down, but mostly fees are going to be going up, about 10 to 20%. If anybody's interested, they can also get this information off the web from the slowplanning.org website. And I think that's it for the advisory council.
Okay. What time is Supervisor Sajjan's presentation? Is that going to be first thing on the agenda before you deal with all these other issues?
Yes, it's first thing on the agenda if he's there at the beginning of the meeting. Otherwise, as soon as he gets there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's at 6:30 is when that meeting starts, and it's held here in the boardroom of the Oceano Community Services District.
Okay, and the date again for that is Monday?
It's coming Monday, September 17th, 6:30 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Pamela.
We are going to have some rough roads ahead financially. They're saying the economy with both the federal and state deficits are going to impact us. Infrastructure is deteriorating, and we've talked with other agencies that we're attending, and they're saying the same, that most of their infrastructure is very old, 40 years old or so, and they do need to repair it. The court decision on pumping of state water because of the endangered species. We've got a lot of problems associated with that. It's been something that's been ongoing for years and years. Then the increased emphasis on water quality and regulation has increased costs. And they said expect grants to dry up. So it's doesn't, and they reiterated this, it must have been three times or more, and including at lunch somewhat too. So those are the kinds of things we say it's going to just get tougher and tougher. So we need to get tough with our efficiencies and be more cost effective too. I learned what I tried to do is go through with the little segments and the things that I thought were important under financial management, what the board does. What the board does is we manage the people's money and we protect the assets. And we're to keep the public informed. And we, as a board, make the macro decisions about money. The board, they say, should stay out of the warrants. And the board should be able to assess the financial health of the agency. One of my goals was to have a six-month financial report. And Patrick and I talked about that. It kind of is a lead-in to the budget. So at the six-month period, you can kind of look at both the what's actually happened and what you predicted and see how close you are, and then you can get close in your budget. And most of the agencies start in about February. Another goal that they say is a must is a five-year financial master plan. And we have not been doing that in the past. It is something that's really crucial to your planning and long-range planning to know where you're going. And to be able to get the funds there when you need them or set them aside. The other thing was to develop a strategic plan. It is a lot less expensive, and it will free up available staff to do other things. They said control costs. The GM does that. The GM follows the rules, and the GM reports to the board. The CFO, which is kind of a combination of people, I think, in this district, watches over the money, is a caretaker of the master financial plan, looks ahead, handles legal financial procedures, and answers the question, do we have the money? And the auditor is tracking the money trail so that we make sure that he reports. So that's the first quarter of my report, and thank you for letting me kind of spout on and on. I had a high learning curve on this particular one. Patrick's already way ahead of me. He knows all the GASB stuff. He knows all the legal requirements. We will not be getting any more fines with not reporting to the state controller. I mean, it's just, it's so very nice to have one, have someone sitting here that's going to take care of our financial needs.
Questions?
Sure.
On here you say board stay out of the warrants. expound on that. What do you mean exactly?
This was one of the slides that they showed in the presentation, and they said you just don't want to get into too much of the nitty-gritty details of things. Actually, your GM and your chief financial officer are the ones tasked with watching over the money like that. We've been in the warrants for a long, long time, but it really is not our task. Our task is the other macro decisions in handling the money.
So are you saying that...
Can I interject somewhere? The speaker gave an example, and I've seen this, especially when I worked at North Marin Water District. They reviewed warrants, individual checks, and what happens is, you know, boards are supposed to be looking at the big picture, and frequently, like tonight, we had a item on the agenda that was that could result in substantial cost to the district in the long term with a desal project. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars that the board would be involved with if we adopt that and continue on. Items like that will come up, and nobody on the board will ask a question. They'll just sign it off. Often it's because board members don't really understand the technical aspects of a big project like that. They're not doing that in a board meeting.
You're talking about, here in a board meeting.
Yeah, what they were talking about is in the board meeting. But I'll be honest with you, this is the only board I've ever been on where a board member had to sign a check. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that.
Well, maybe we like watching our dollars.
But I'm just saying there's a caution here that if you're spending all your time watching the $50 items, you may be letting the $1 million items get by. That was the whole point of the presentation.
And then my next question, Pamela, board should not get tangled in budget line items. Expound on that, please.
Well, I'll let Patrick do that because, again, it's kind of the same thing here.
It's pretty much the same thing. You got one thing I was going to talk about later, my part of the report on the meeting, is that at this conference there were a few agencies that were smaller than us, and there were a whole lot of agencies that were much larger than us. Nevada Irrigation District was there. They probably have 2,000 employees. And what this was really oriented towards was the bigger organizations, where they're looking at big budgets. They're looking at many, many, many employees. And the point of this presentation was you shouldn't be worrying about how much office supplies are being spent in each department. As a director, you need to be looking at what it costs to run admin, what it costs to run fire, what it costs to run water. And you need to be thinking about, you know, do our revenues match our expenditures? And if you're spending time worrying about, I don't want that little department over there to have $200 in office supplies because last year they only had $175. If you're concentrating on that, you don't have time to look at the big picture. It was the exact same thing, really.
I could see that, but I would certainly look at line items. I mean,
well, a lot of places don't. They say this is the budget for admin, and
well,
this
having
is
been burnt once or twice. Sometimes you then become more cautious.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just telling you what the presentation is.
I'm just trying to have a polite discussion here.
Sure. Right. Sure.
I tend to share some of Barbara's concerns. Sometimes the presentations, having been to some of these, and they are quite educational, and I've learned a lot from my participation in them previously, but some of the presenters have a particular point.
Our district, because, like Patrick said, many of these were humongous districts with a lot of money, and so we're thinking, okay, that sounds really good, but ideally, it would be good, but we can't do it. We just don't have time, money, staff, anything to do it. So you had to pick and choose and say, oh, this is a good idea. I don't want to lose the idea, so we may use it later. And I will report on more of those as we go through. I figured it was probably enough for tonight to do one page.
Well, I think this was really great what you put together here, Pamela, because this is what we need when people return from these seminars, since we couldn't all go. I would certainly appreciate your time and your effort, and you did put a very nice report together.
And I will bring some of the exhibits that I referred to. I didn't get those copied, so when I talk about those things, I can show you what kinds of things they showed us, like the management, MDNA, and some of the budget kinds of things that you can put in there to make it easier for the layman to understand. And I'm a layman. I'm representing laymen. And people want to know what's going on. And they don't always, they aren't always accountants or, you know, have the financial expertise. So we found there are a lot of ways to make it easier for people to understand. So that's kind of the crux of the whole, well, there's a lot more, but we'll just go bit by bit, I guess.
Yeah, frankly, I made a trip report too, but I'm not going to show it tonight. I'm going to go back and revise mine in light of what's here. I would be very embarrassed to submit mine. This is an amazing report.
Well, I don't know that we said the general manager had to give his report. We said the board members did.
No, I think anybody that travels.
No. Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate your report also. It's a good summary. I know when you go to these, they give you a binder that's fairly intimidating, full of material.
Thick, yes.
And this is a good...
But I got to tell you, the majority of this came from her notes. The binder is good, and it's. But I can tell just by looking, she took copious notes.
Right. Okay, moving on then, Barbara?
Fire Committee General Manager O'Reilly and myself met with Craig Angelo from the Fire Department last night, went over basically what John Bova gave us today.
Okay, item 11, General Manager items for discussion.
I have a few things. I went to you last week to my first Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting, and it was amazing. I was very impressed with the people that were there and the work that was being done and the things that are being discussed. A few things I need to report on. One, I was unable to vote because we hadn't forwarded the agenda that appointed me to this meeting, so we'll take care of that so that I can vote future meetings. One representative reported about a new statewide draft for septic systems that's going to create three types of septic systems. They're going to have a category called existing septic systems, one called new septic systems, and one called failed septic systems. So if you have an existing system, as long as it meets the discharge requirements, then you're okay. The discharge requirements that you built the system under, then it's okay. Once it fails, however, it's going to have to meet the discharge requirements for new septic systems, which basically is drinking water standards. The guy said the bottom line is that nobody will be able to afford to build a septic tank once this law is adopted. It's just amazing how far the state is going in that particular direction. The other thing is, and of interest to special districts, is that this law is going to include a requirement that if you have a failed septic system, between the time it fails and the time you replace it with something else, the local agency is going to be required to pump it monthly. Now, you can charge the people to do it, but basically it's going to require cities and CSDs, if there's a septic system in their jurisdiction, to go have it pumped monthly. They don't have to do it themselves, but they have to ensure that it gets pumped monthly. So I don't know how many septic systems we have here.
Yeah,
hopefully not many. So it won't impact us, but there are a lot of places that it's going to impact dramatically.
Oh, okay.
Very few, but that's the example
it's something.
There are places at the county that are not under any CSD and not under any city and have no sewer hookups and are just on septic system. Mm-hmm. And what are they going to do if they need to put in a new house or a new construction needs to put in a septic system that only discharges potable water?
That's what he said. I Don't know. But basically, yeah, that's what he said. If the state really passes those laws. You know, 10 years ago, people would say that the things that are happening with the Coastal Commission that would never happen, but they're happening. And now people are saying, well, this septic thing will never get through. But he said it's very likely it will. So I just wanted to report that. Of interest also, the county staff has proposed that they call it a water supply reliability agreement, be pursued by the county. Basically, they want the county to sell excess state water to decrease the cost of water to county residents. And so they formed a small committee with the RAC that's going to give advice to the supervisors. And basically the agreement says that existing subcontractors would have first rights of refusal on the water. So that would be us and the other people who are contracted for state water now. And then they would, the alternatives are to sell it back to CCWA, the Central Coast Water Authority, because they could then sell it to other customers, including ranch farmers. And then the third priority would be to sell it back to the state itself. The state has a water pooling agreement where they actually sell excess water. So those are the three things they're looking at. Napomo got up and said, Bruce Buell from Napomo got up and said they wanted to be considered at the second level. They thought that local agencies in the county should have an opportunity to purchase water if it was available. But I think this is interesting because we're looking at selling water and the county's looking at doing the same thing. And I think there are some very similar legal issues involved. You know, if they can sell water or if they can't sell water, it probably has some implication for our thoughts about selling water. And then it was reported that pending smelt litigation in the Delta would probably, perhaps as soon as sometime during this year, result in reduced flows of state water. And it's going to be linked to the smelt reproduction cycle. So some months there will be no impact on water that's available, and other months it could be zero state water available out of the Delta. So agencies just need to be aware of the fact that that litigation is in the process right now of being, a decision is being made concerning that right now. Mark Hutchinson presented us, so that was a RAC. I have a couple other items, if it's okay. At the last board meeting, I was authorized to enter into an agreement with a law firm to give us a water rights opinion. I tried to contact six firms. Alex gave me two names, and I found I got a few other references. I ended up talking to three other very reputable attorneys that I thought could have done an excellent job for us. The bottom line was, all the hourly rates were between $300 and $400. So the one that we had was originally looking at was the least, or in the range of the least, with a couple of other attorneys. And bottom line is, I executed a engagement letter with Bo Posner, the original company that I came in. I sent emails to the three guys that I had talked to, the three attorneys, and two of them right away sent emails back to me saying, oh, I know Bob Maddow. He's an excellent choice. You can't go wrong with him. So I thought that was generous of them, but it made me feel better about the choice. Hopefully, we can actually have the engagement letter signed and everything soon enough to have them give us the opinion letter at the next board meeting on the 26th of September. Hopefully that'll happen.
Okay.
And I do have a report on the conference last week, but I think what Director Dean said, I would just support that. The issue about the range and size of agencies and how much we can really implement, it's amazing because we actually went to a session on Saturday, which to me turned out to be very disappointing because it was called cost control, but it was presented by the general manager from the Goleta Sanitation District. And I don't know how big that district is. I'm assuming they got a lot of money because he was talking about this model. What kind of a model? A prediction model or something? And they paid $90,000 for this Excel program to just, to do this, some sort of analysis for their budget. So that, you know, and he just went, they had detail and detail and detail about how they developed their budget and time cards where they're doing cost center reporting and all. I mean, just really nice stuff if you have a need for it. We had no need for it whatsoever.
$90,000 for an Excel program.
For an Excel program.
I think
program.
I would join Barbara in the line item veto on that.
Right.
One.
Well, you know.
Got a couple of public meetings up in San Bernardino County on the 25th and 26th, so I'm not available to come to the next one.
Okay.
So everybody will have to talk about the cleanup in my absence because they really need volunteers out there.
And the people from the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District, Julie Thomas and everyone, are doing a good job to keep the vegetation thinning under control and all of that. They seem to be fairly well on top of that, as much as could be.
And I forgot one other thing. You brought that to mind. When I talked to Stephanie Wald at the Central Coast Salmon Enhancement, she said she wanted to see if the board would be to let them be apprised of what they are planning to do, that what they would like to do at every sewer outlet, or they have a map of drainage in the community of Oceano, where they would like to say, or they put a little sign that says, this goes to the ocean, so do not dump. This goes to the ocean. And I said, well, we haven't received any maps or anything like that. But she said we wanted to make sure that the community and the board knew about this plan, that they'd like to put these little signs up. And usually they do stencils of these things. I'm thinking, well, everything we have here goes to the ocean, all the roads, everything pretty much. I'm not quite sure where she's going to put this, but it is to get people's attention about dumping. It also goes along with our stormwater plan and those other kinds of things so that people become more aware. And it's something where they pull it off and stick it on a location. And I'm not sure the location, but she said she wanted to let you guys know. And I said, well, it would be good to let us know, yeah. Because that would happen apparently at the same week, same day, is what they're planning to do on the 29th of September.
So we don't have them arrested for doing graffiti that day, right?
Yeah, we don't want to do that because it may be me placing those things. but that's one thing I forgot to mention on the creek cleanup day. That's going to be part of their plan.
Okay, thank you. I also wanted to just say thanks to our technical crew from AGP Video. Steve Matthew and his crew do a good job for us here. Every meeting, and just to thank them for their continuous, not trying to co-opt rights that we've and our customers have paid for without certainly due compensation, I would hope.
The county has 25,000, 22,000, a large number of acre foot rightage, and ours is, we're part of the 4,900 that actually subscribe. They're talking about that part that they subscribe to that we don't, that doesn't impact us. I believe they pay for that, even though they don't get it, and we're not part of that agreement. That's my understanding.
Okay, we'll definitely want to stay on top of
that. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, item number 13, consideration of the warrants. Comment or questions? I just have one question for my own edification. On page 6, we have postage charge going to DataPros. Is that?
That's the company that we contracted with for the utility bills.
Okay, right. Very good. Any other comment or questions?
I move that we pay the bills.
Okay.
Seconds.
Comment or questions from the public? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously with one absent. Item 14, public comment. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Hearing none. Moving on, we have no executive session. Is there any written communications?
There is, actually. You made copies, right?
Yes.
Okay. Two things? Sorry. Three things. What's the third? Oh, yeah. There's a letter here from the Department of Motor Vehicles dated yesterday, September the 11th, advising us and all their customers that they're going to close their office in San Luis Obispo for remodeling from October the 19th through January the 4th. And people who desire service from DMV will have to go to Santa Maria, Lompoc, or Paso Robles, right, for service.
However, we confirmed today that the travel runs will
are provided here, and how people can take advantage of them.
Well, they come the second Wednesday of each month. We do their driver's license renewals and identification cards, and then we can also help them if they just want to switch a registration on a vehicle. Staff can usually help them with those kind of questions. All they do is call the office when they get their paperwork stating that they need to renew their license. We set up a time for them to come in. We go over the paperwork with them, do the preliminary vision test, collect their funds, and then we take it to DMV, and they're scheduled for that second Wednesday.
Now, where will we have to take this to Santa Maria now?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one yet.
And is this available to any member of the public?
Yes, we have to serve anyone who comes in. It was designed originally to help seniors who didn't want to drive to Santa Maria or San Luis, but certainly we have to provide the service to anyone.
Thank you.
And the closure dates again of the San Luis office?
They'll be closed October the 19th at noon through January the 4th.
Through January 4th. It's a fairly long closure.
Big remodel. Mm-hmm.
2.5 months.
Okay, any other written communication?
Yeah, there are two other items. There's a letter from Shirley Shepherd, 1785 Peacock Place, concerning a utility billing adjustment. About 3 weeks ago, we received a letter from her requesting an adjustment for a leak. And I mistakenly told her that we couldn't pay her because it was within 12 months of a previous reimbursement. I was looking at an old regulation. The current regulation, there is no 12-month requirement. You can apply as often as you desire, as you have the justification to do so. I called her. This letter is dated September the 4th. I called her on September the 4th and left her a message telling her that. Apparently she didn't get the message. So when we got this letter yesterday or the day before, I called her again, left another message to tell her that she needs to submit proof that she's corrected the problem, and then we will bring it to the board for consideration.
But the board can decide at that point whether we want to.
That's what I'm saying. I never told her we would approve it. I told her we would bring it to the board for consideration. Because it's not an automatic. Get to the point where he just couldn't work anymore. It was costing him too much money. So he's basically gone. That's, you don't see him here tonight. And I'm working on setting up alternate arrangement for a chief, as you directed me to do at the last board meeting.
I want to personally say thanks to Doug Hemp. I know it's runs up against Social Security requirements and so forth, but I appreciate the diligent service that he provided for the district and the good counsel and the time he was here. So we're sorry to see him go, but very grateful for his contribution and look forward to working with him in the future.
Would he be willing to come back and work part-time next year?
I don't know. I could ask him. Yeah.
He has said he can't commit to that. And that's how he's left it as far as coming back after the first of the year. He didn't say yes or no.
Yeah, you know, and frankly, I would hope to have something else in place before the first of the year. So not that we couldn't contract with them to do special things for us on occasion, but hopefully we won't need that as a management issue.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Very good. That being the last thing on the agenda, we'll adjourn.